This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Yeah, hello, Mr. Ellis. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Yes. I must admit, I'm a relatively new caller.
Okay.
And I listen to your, the regional news as well as the local news is very, I find it very depressing. Well, not depressing, but it's gloomy. And it doesn't show how the world is, you know, more or less at a stage of topsy-curvy. To quote, I remember a friend of mine telling me he read so much about the bad effects of drinking alcohol, they decided to give up reading. But I won't give up listening to the news. Anyway, I also am a very frustrated man this morning. Let me introduce it. I am a farmer, right? The emphasis in the present economy is that the emphasis will be placed on farming. The Prime Minister is online saying that we should try to more or less reduce our food import bill, right? I'm a registered farmer since 2009. And in farming, there's certain incentives. One of the incentives is a duty-free van for farmers if you qualify and meet a certain criteria. Right. 2017, I went ahead and brought a farming vehicle, the mats for the sake of farming, you know, to transport my produce from this. Okay, according to the customer, Cap 66, Part 2B, entitled to the free vehicle section 37E of the Tariff Amendment 9, Order 2009. That, you know, that is the secundo, we call it. Right. Anyway, I went ahead and brought it, submitted, because that met provisions that within a period of 2 years or so, you can claim a rebate. You buy the van off, in other words, and within 2 year period, you can claim your rebate. I have went ahead, done that. I have submitted to the Ministry of Finance. Before that, I submitted, I went to agriculture, and I have a letter here from the Ministry of Agriculture. Say I qualify as a bonder. Bona fide farmer, meet the criteria, and entitled to the waiver of duties and taxes on his head van. It's signed by the former chief agriculture officer. Okay. Then I submit to the Ministry of Finance. 2018-06-07, the particulars of the van. Mr. Ellis won't believe this is 2 years and a half now. I have been waiting. I have been over the Ministry of Finance on several occasions. At one time, I went over there and...
Wait.
Pardon me?
Wait a minute. Because this is a bit involved.
Yes.
And this sounds as though this is something that requires a different approach.
Yes.
So my question is, why are you raising it in this forum in this way?
Because I am frustrated. I've tried to raise it in the other forum. I've written the Ministry of Finance on numerous occasions, and up to this day, no person has ever replied to me. I even went over there to ask for a meeting, and I'm just being given a runaround.
Ministry of Agriculture? Well,
the Ministry of Finance. I cut has given me the approval.
Okay. So I will suggest to you that you leave your contact details with the person who is behind the scenes here, the producer.
Okay.
And I will forward this information to someone in government, and hopefully you will get some kind of response to this matter, okay? Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello, David?
Yes.
This is John Goddard.
Yes, John.
I'm back with you today because, of course, you know what happened yesterday, and you will recall that you and I had an interesting discussion on this question of violence, and I suggested to you that the Anglican Church had started a program trying to deal with the issue in the small way that we can, given our limited resources. I heard a lot of what was said this morning, and I heard your contribution and so on. I want to start with the point you made about the decriminalization of marijuana. David, I have written on that very point because I have been concerned about, one, the incarceration of a large number of our young people for spliff, a bit of marijuana here, a bit of marijuana there. And we are losing young people at a rapid rate in the most productive years of their life. Secondly, I am not, and this is perhaps the most important, too many lives are lost in turf wars. And I cannot see the point of our continuing to criminalize the use of marijuana at the expense of human life.
you find this contribution here relevant to what you are saying. This person says that we're correct when we are saying that organized crime in Barbados.
Excuse me. Hello?
Yeah, do excuse me. Organized crime has been around for a long time in the country. This person says no minister of government or leader of any organization can or will stop this activity anytime soon. Then they say to me that because of their job, they consider that they are on the ground. And says, the person says, I know for a fact that there are hits that are going to happen in this country against some well-known gang leaders, but we don't know when, but it is going to happen. And the concern that they're expressing is that what happened at the school can happen in other public places or in certain people's homes, because these wanted heads, as he calls them, don't stay one place too long. And the shooters in question do not care about anything. And in many instances, all they are given is a 5-bag and $100 as payment. And they are prepared to, you know, it is not an expensive undertaking.
Yeah, that is the point. I support this speaker. I myself mix a lot, and because of the program I'm involved in, I've had to do some research. And I, David, tell you the answer, I am alarmed. With the new bill, I can't remember if it's passed already, and now it's become an act. This is the Marijuana Act, dealing with medicinal marijuana and the issue of sacramental marijuana for the use by the Rastafarians, which I know they have themselves criticized. The one thing I would want to say with that, David, is that I do not know how you can legalize a substance like marijuana for use by one particular group in the community and ignore the others. I don't know if we can have a law for the bees and a different one for the Persians.
So who was left out in your judgment?
What other people who are not taking the substance for their sacrament. The point is that decriminalization is the best way to go, because as is the case with cigarettes and rum, David, some of us are not going to touch marijuana. I certainly have no intention, and I know my children are not going to touch it. That I am concerned about those who will and suffer any ill effects. But in the same way that we have got to make provisions for health care, for the abusers of smoking and alcohol, I'm afraid we're going to have to do the same for marijuana. You know, I would like to be living in a world where we don't have the problems with marijuana, rum or cigarette. But I have to be realistic. And therefore, I can see no good reason to limit its legality to a small group of persons. What we are going to do if we don't watch that is, as Erasmus has said, we are going to make them targets, you know, David. When they are allowed to grow marijuana and others are not, you are not. I know you're not going to use marijuana, but let's say you are not. Now you're going to go and take the marijuana from the areas where it is grown. You can see the implications of that. I'm asking you. I don't know. It's not a rhetorical question. I'm asking you.
At the moment, Barbados has been discussing medicinal marijuana.
Yes.
There has been, the government has not been going in the direction of recreational marijuana yet. And a lot of the discussion that I hear from others seems to suggest that Barbados is actually suggesting that we go the route right now of decriminalizing recreational marijuana. What I put on the table earlier, and what you seem to agree with, is that we need to examine the pros and cons right now of maintaining the status quo as it relates to the area other than medicinal marijuana. And I agree that, as I said, I see so many negatives associated with it. But remember this, whatever way you turn, you're going to have a problem.
That's true.
Between a rock and a hard place on this one. because you have the concern about what it is going to do to so many people who will have easier access to it. But you also have what we are going through right now. What is emerging here? What has emerged in Trinidad? What has emerged in Jamaica?
Right.
What has been emerging in St. Lucia?
And St. Kitts. All over there.
All right. St. Kitts seems to have done something in recent months to reduce the number of killings there, huh?
Yes, they have. I think we need to hear what they're.
But one of the things that they introduced there was the RSS. They use the regional security system to help them police the community. I don't believe that's all they did, but we need to hear more about whether there is a success story so far in the approach that they have adopted.
Yeah. David, we have to look at some of the root causes. I have already said, and I think I even raised it last time, that our educational system is part of the problem, and we need to tackle that process. We need definitely to tackle that. Let me deal with the police. David, our manpower, the manpower in the police is not there. We have been experiencing tremendous problems in trying to recruit young men and women to the police force. The question is why. I have a view that we might be able to attract some of our brighter young people to the police force if the conditions are improved. We should not put a price tag on peace and security in this country. I think that government needs, and the Attorney General has said a lot about talk. He talked tough and all that. I'm waiting to see where this stuff actually going to come. But he needs to persuade his cabinet colleagues that the investment in improved remuneration and conditions of work for the police force, that investment is important and worth pursuing. It is better, David, for us to spend the resources in trying to prevent crime and so on than to spend all the money at Dawes Prison. Right now, each prisoner at Dawes costs us about over $30,000 per year. Think about that. Actually, it blows my mind, to be quite frank. We need to spend the money up front. And the police deserve the best that we can give them. I don't mean that we're going to make Barbados a police state. I know whenever you talk about these things, people talk about you want to make the country a police state. But the police, that's what we have to protect the country. And we need to give them the kind of support that is necessary. That is why we're so upset when the last government attempted to deal with this issue by introducing police searches and stopping searching and so on. I am prepared, David, as a citizen, to tolerate being stopped and searched, particularly at night, if it is going to lead to a greater feeling on my part of security and safety.
Yeah, tell you the truth, a lot of the things that are done in this country that catch you by surprise are done in the day. This idea that in the nighttime.
Especially at night, but I agree with you that in the day as well. I have nothing, I don't think you either, David. We don't have anything to fear from the police stopping and checking. If you don't have anything, why are you afraid?
What? Of the police doing? The danger of where this is going is that it can produce a backlash, and that backlash is likely to be a kind of right wing, if not fascist, kind of leadership eventually, you know. Because the society gets tired. When the society gets too tired of this so-called liberal approach, they react. I think, mm-hmm. I mean, you can look around, look through history and see how that has worked.
Yes. That is always a fear, David. It is a fear. And we need to find some middle ground here rather than reacting now to the liberal approaches that we have in this laid-back thing that we do, and then go to the other extreme.
Precisely.
You know?
I think that the same way that the gunmen and all of them out there feel that they can be tough with the rest of the society and they don't have to care, the society itself has to toughen up. And you cannot allow this situation where it seems as though the country is just being overrun and overtaken by people who are not interested in its development. These are people who were educated by, most of them, by the taxpayers of Barbados.
So
people,
right,
when they got sick, go to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, use all your services and everything. They have benefited immensely from this welfare, the welfare aspect of this state.
But now, David, you know that will they get preference at the hospital above people?
Well, once they get shot up and stuff.
And they can get blood. If I go to the hospital now and want blood, I have to get two people to go and give blood to me. They go in there and they get blood very, very, very easily. Every effort is made. I applaud the doctors for doing their job and trying to save blood. But we talk, you know, about the killings and so on and the trauma which people experience and the shootings and so on which people experience. But, you know, they are a tremendous burden on our health service. You know what I mean? We are spending enormous sums of money on the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. And a lot of it is going towards treating people who are shot up, who are being shot up daily. Because, you know, we hear about the murders, these spectacular cases of murder. But, you know, a whole set of people are shot in Barbados regularly. And if, as you said to somebody earlier, if these fellas could shoot properly, David, why don't
they get him? They are getting better at that.
They seem so.
And they're having more powerful weapons. So doctors will tell you that they have noticed a change. There was a time when they would find more injuries coming to them. But now they come, when people come, they come with, you know, grave injuries. Injuries that have the potential to kill them. And many of them die because, you know, they're shot in the chest, shot in the head. And the gang leaders and stuff celebrate the kind of powerful weapons that they have at their disposal. But where is it going to take Barbados? Ultimately, this is the question. If you go out there and do all of this and create this mayhem, ultimately, you got your sister who depends upon a job.
Right.
Work in the tourism sector or wherever else, but tourism helps, all right? You scare people from economic activity. And ultimately, your mother can be affected by it. Your father can be affected by it.
Do they think they care?
But these are the messages that we need to spend a little time trying to get into their
across
heads.
Them. Yes.
You know?
It'll
destroy the country. It makes it difficult. You have a host of people in this country who are really working night and day, trying their best to see how they can make Barbados better. For people like that, those people don't care about anybody else.
But David, are you telling me, though, this is a small two-way island, you really telling me that the authorities don't know who the gang leaders are? These boss men?
But
you really
you know how long ago we talked about politics and the crime? How the politicians, they made a campaign and that sort of thing, a turn a blind eye to certain behavior. And truth be told, there has now been a kind of embracing of the recognized criminal element by the political class in this country. You know,
you can get attacked for that, but you're right.
But attack, that is our reality. Come on, man.
It is our reality.
Why would we want to run away from that?
Because I want to say to you
that the first casualties of intimidation were the politicians. They have been the first casualties of the intimidation. They want the vote. So they make compromises with these people, ignore some of the stupid stuff that goes on. And at the end of the day, they help to create the crisis that we face.
Does you know that Barbadians love pretending that nothing is happening? And that is one of the problems. We turn the blind eye to it. We pretend that it's not happening. Oh, Lord, this is Barbados.
How much longer are we going to do that with this issue?
Whole thing, I don't know. And as a teacher, I have discussions with children. And the children know exactly what's happening. The youngsters know, David. I mean, I retired from teaching at secondary school, but I still teach at the community college, and those young people, they know. So I don't know what we're trying to pretend. You know what I mean? But, David, I am at a loss to see exactly how is government going to approach this matter. It's not just a government thing, but the government has to lead the way. They must create the environment which would encourage members of the public to help. People must see that the government is serious, not just talking serious. They must show that they are serious in tackling this matter. And unless that is done, I'm afraid people are going to be reluctant to join in the fight because they fear. People fear their own lives and the lives of their own children, and we have to understand that.
Well, I will tell you this: you can't be running a tourist-driven country and find that the people who live here are living in fear, and they don't transmit that to the people who visit. It is impossible for people to contain that. And this is a very serious time for Barbados. It is time for far more action by all of us, not just the government. We need to be tackling this at different levels through the whole issue of policing and all of that. But also, this is a time for parents to really stop and think about the way that we are bringing up our children and our grandchildren, the guidance that we are giving them, the notions of right and wrong that we are instilling in them. Because if you do it the wrong way, you're going to lose that child anyhow. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. Just let me apologize to you because I sound a little bit under the weather. It's not as bad as I sound. But this is because of, sometimes you suffer this post-nasal drip and stuff. And over the last couple of days, it's just hit me harder than normal. So I really thought that I could stand up to the rigors of it today. But let me see what happens between now and 2 o'clock when this program comes to an end. So if you find that I am affected by it, do forgive me. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Okay, what I want to say, you were speaking to a lady before in the news about how children were raised then, and apparently, you know, it kind of like bring itself spilled over into the future, which is probably now, right? Now, what I want to say about that is that things are so, it seems so simple, and ours to today, something like that is happening. But a lot of people probably aren't really seeing it for what it is. If I could just think of, okay, I will use this. Let's use the cell phones. You hear every day, you know, cell phone law passed, not to use the cell phones, etc. The goodly sergeant is coming, other person is coming talking about using the cell phone distraction and what it can cause people to get killed, may and they fear cause accidents. Now, I want people to realize what they are listening well. Now, what happened is that if you realize that every morning we have a workforce go to work, probably from 9 to 5, whatever you may call it, 8 to whatever, we have a school force that does the same everything. And these children are from the age of 5 upwards, let's say 16, 17, now we get a 16. Now, these persons who are using the cell phone, thinking nothing of it, or don't really know what they're doing, they have children in the car from that age group, which is related to them, or they have friends they are taking for a drop on their way. Now, whenever they pass or get near to a police or know where something is coming up with the police, what they do is try to hide. The children, as we all see, they have a brain like a sponge. They are in the back and around observing all of this. And after a period of time, these children grow into this thing that we are doing all the time. They get sensitized and they don't really fear the law or authority. a lot of people looking at that. But as simple as it may seem, there are what you call climatizing from that age and right up. How to look at the law and say, oh, we could adapt through them. You know what, the fear from a lot of things, like just leaving their head or whoever is supposed to be in there. Even the ones on the streets, you may not be taking those ones in your car. But a lot of them on the sidewalks, going to school, barbers and far, are seeing it. They can look across and see who's on the cell phone. And remember, they know what a cell phone is. And I believe all they know by now, they're not supposed to be driving and using a cell phone. So all these things are seen on the road, and we are taking it for granted like it's nothing. But this is how we are getting these persons having no fear, because from young, they're sensitizing to it, and that's what we are doing. And I would like some parents to really look at this, and my belief is this. If these simple things that people believe that ain't really nothing, like a cell phone using, and they don't believe how much damage they are creating and doing, if the law don't really take what some people think is simple little things and do something about it, so these young children and young minds could say, well, look, this ain't the way to go. You know, we can remain the same way and we can keep going all the time. That's all I want to say, sir. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for calling. This person says that what happened in the United States with the former minister would never have gotten so far in Barbados. It would be great if we here in Barbados had the courage to call a spade a spade. Now, I listened to the observation which was made by Tony Best in the news, where he said that the approach which was taken by the defense was all aimed at trying to stop further allegations coming to the fore. And that is a significant interpretation of what has gone on in this particular case. I must say, I having been in the media for as long as I have been, I've gotten to know a number of people. And I know people who are BLP people. I know people who are Dems. And I am one of those who genuinely believe that you've got to be able to appreciate people irrespective of the political side that they belong to. And in that context, therefore, I've gotten to know Donville Innes quite well. And therefore, I too would be deeply touched by the fact that all of this has taken place. And in it all, I certainly would be very sympathetic not only to him but to his family, his wife in particular, and their two children. But in public life, you have to make that separation between the personal and what is public. And you have to live with the reality that if something goes wrong, you still have to function as a professional in all of this. And if you find it hard to function as a professional, then you have to recuse yourself. You just said, I'm too close to this to deal with it. All right? Having said that, I see, as I said earlier, serious implications, not only for the Democratic Labour Party. I agree that the Democratic Labour Party is under pressure coming out of this case, because this case must be seen in the context of all that was said in the last general election campaign. And in these circumstances, all you need is for one to stick. What makes it worse is that we didn't do this ourselves. Somebody else had to do that. And therefore, it casts a shadow on all the others. This is it. For the Dems, this is, to me, the most unfortunate aspect of that. But it also impacts on the image of Barbados, not because of the decision in this case, but by the fact that another jurisdiction took action in keeping with what they saw as the law of Barbados, and that Barbados itself was impotent in doing something about it. And it sends and reinforces the message in this country that when it comes to matters involving politicians and people who have served in government, you are unlikely to get any action in Barbados. That is how it looks. And I don't know how the government of the day is going to address that. I hear the Attorney General saying that people want blood and they've brought in specialists and that sort of thing. But I think most people would have anticipated that this case would have required that the government, the country Barbados, the Office of Commissioner of Police and that sort of thing, would have been able to do more than has been done. Now, if you're saying to me that the law of Barbados does not allow you to do anything, then you have to address that too. Not even, you know, you can't just say, you know, the law does not allow for it. You then have to talk about what needs to be put in place. But at the end of the day, what are you trying to generate here? Public confidence and stuff. And don't fool yourself, huh? A long time ago, I thought that the way that a number of things were handled in the country established a kind of double standard that caused a lot of the smaller people to believe that, you know, you could float it. This has been going on for a long time. I remember back in the 90s and so, when things happened, you said, but, you know, if you do nothing about it at this level, you could feel the effect that it was having on people further down the line. They said, well, you know, you come after me for this and that, but, you know, when somebody else does something, nothing happens. And they become callous. The term Barbadians use is what? Don't care-ish. So they're all, you know, they're all linked to what we've been discussing today. I mean, the attitude. This is down to brass tacks.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, hi.
I wish you better. I do not feel a dominant in it. I don't. And this is going to do a B, nor a D. Right? And we in Barbados will never, ever, in our lifetime, see any politician in Barbados go to jail for anything. Never. They suddenly be going to realize. Even laws, changing laws, to talk about it when they're campaigning, they don't ever do it. You know why? If they change the law, when they get there, they have to be faced with the same law. As regards to the Attorney General, what you need to tell the public of Barbados, these lot of murders, what laws and enforcement are you going to put in place to at least change people's minds? It was 36, it was 49, and now it is 2. You can't come after almost 25 years telling me the same thing. If you can't get the job done, surrender it. Listen, boys, do it. We need to protect our citizens. I'm not saying that every law is going to change a situation, but at least it will make people think about doing certain things. I mean, none of us are immune from what's going on. None of us. Whether in government or to government, none. Something has to be done. All in here is a lot of talk. Talk won't change anything. Anybody can talk. The only difference in talk is that some people talk better than some.
Mm-hmm. You're a part of the talk. You're a large part of the talk.
Yeah. But if I had my way, if I was a judge and I had a murder case, there's one or two things I want to establish. Did you kill in self-defense? Whether it's defending your life or somebody else's. Barring that, you're gone.
You wouldn't follow the law. You wouldn't follow the law.
You see the law, no, I do.
You know, you'd be a very dangerous judge.
But no, Debbie, you gotta get real. Suppose you were in any of those person's situation. I'm talking about accidental death or anything like that. I'm talking about somebody who basically go to somebody. Look at them children. That may stay with them for the balance of their lives. And we have a habit of not learning. We don't learn. And when I say we don't learn, I mean the people who is in charge. They don't ever learn. So there got to be a reason for all of this, you know.
There has to be a reason. All right, Mr. P.
Thank you.
Thank you. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir. How are you?
All the best for the new year, sir.
Same to you. I haven't heard you for a while.
Well, I've been about and around, but you know, your lines are usually very busy.
Oh, yeah, and, but that never stopped you before.
That you'll get him more popular, so.
I suspect that you were gallivanting and you were up to other business.
Well, yes, me, Bobby, this is a democratic country, you know. You get to where you can.
Yeah.
No, Mr. Ellis, I guess every Barbadian this morning will feel a tinge of embarrassment at what has taken place in the United States. I, for one, Mr. Ellis, was not favorite of mine, because they always felt you looked a little too smart to me. I had nothing against him. But I have to say that even as an untrained attorney, I thought that the defense handled his case very, very poorly. From the time I hear Mr. he wasn't offering any evidence, and he wasn't going to be giving any evidence, I said this whole thing is going to be left up to the jury, and it's an American jury. In a jury.
But, you know, at the end of all of this, you need to know all the facts before you come to your conclusion.
I know that.
And I don't think that you or I have all these facts.
Mr. Nobody has all the facts. Not even the government. But the question is this: how did the American government get this information?
Well,
because no agency of the United States came to Barbados to investigate.
But that's
I understand.
Why you should give your mouth so much liberty?
Wait a minute.
You read the case?
You see, that's why you don't call this program.
I know.
Give me
because,
a chance, man.
No, because if you say something that is not correct, Arthur,
I asked a question.
No, you didn't.
How did the United States officials get hold of this information? But ask me that. That we want to
did
do.
You read any of the information that was put out there?
Yes, I did.
Did you see that an FBI agent was here in Barbados?
Not at the beginning. He came after to investigate. I understand the American government received this matter signed, sealed, and delivered.
Do you understand
from who? Emanated from Barbados.
Where you get that from?
I read that.
I don't remember hearing that. You two, we can't talk. Go ahead.
Even before Mr. Ennis was charged, the question was asked by a United States, what people up there, what was the source of the information? Now, obviously, nobody knows how it got from Barbados to the United States court and eventually court system. That means it was a company with evidence, name, dates, and activity. So United States had to do nothing. $36,000, United States is a laugh. It's a bare laugh. They won't go after that. But let me just say this. You said something just now that I found very instructive. If you were in Barbados, 10-1, it would not have got that far. You know why? Some time ago, the Central Bank of Barbados was hit with two thefts, $2 million thefts from its vault. You know that. You might remember. And although people were named to be charged, it never came to light any further. The newspaper dropped it. And that's $2 million.
You don't, why are you accusing newspapers of dropping it? It is quite possible that other persons, other institutions that would have been more crucial to the matter would have dropped it.
Mr. Ellis,
and in those circumstances it becomes more challenging to pursue it.
If any bank in Bridgetown loses money, if the bank's officers to call in the police or whoever they want to call in,
you know what
and
bank,
their charges,
you know that banks are concerned with getting back their money. So if money is missing and the bank gets back its money, that sometimes is considered the most important factor in all of this, and they will drop the matter. If people agree to pay back the money, do you see? But the point I'm making to you is that it is a dangerous thing to come to conclusions without the facts.
Mr. Ellis, I'm asking you, do you know? Two sets of money was missing from the central bank.
Arthur, you are being clever. What you do is that you ask me a question, but then you still jump to a conclusion before I could give you an answer. You are very clever.
But if that had happened in Barbados, nobody would have gone after it. And that's true. I was quoting an exam to show you that what you are saying is true. Two sets of money was losing from the central bank, but in most cases, it's more than $2 million. The newspaper carried stories.
But we went through that already. But you've already said that, Arthur. Why do you need to repeat it?
I'm just confirming what you said is right.
But let me say again. There's no need to repeat that.
I know that's why you were right. It would not have been pursued in Barbados. It depends on who it is. Now, the other thing I want to say, sir, is that the defense lawyers in this case should have been more circumspect. You see what happened with Bill Cosby? I never thought Bill Cosby would get convicted, huh? I never thought Bill Cosby a man of his standing in the United States. But I forgot one thing, that is that.
All right.
The other person that I...
Let me ask you something. And white politicians and white people don't get convicted in Americans?
No, but American you know
courts?
And I know, Mr. Ellis, you know and I know. That if you have the job or the brush, your chances of getting off are less. Look at O.J. Simpson. I could call another Barbadian doctor that was charged the other day for dispensing fake drugs here in Barbados and New York. Well, I won't do that because I don't think it's my business. People who know this want to know this, and people who know this leave it, forget it. But I'm asking, the key to this whole thing, how did the information get from...
Question today. Okay, thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello.
Welcome to the program.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you and everyone.
Same to you.
Yes. I didn't hear Sir Matt Williams this morning. He was on this morning.
Oh, he wasn't on. But if he hasn't been on yet, I don't think that you should call him out right now.
Okay, I'm going to miss him today because I was doing something. Anyhow, Happy New Year to all those out there who love me and who don't love me. And you see the thing that they want to plant and thing that they don't want it to the people to plant it, the herb or whatever it is, they could legalize it. I would glad if they could legalize it. People is who abusing it, not that abusing people. They're using it wrongfully.
All right. Well, at the moment, it is against the law.
Huh?
If something is against the law in Barbados,
well,
it is not something that we should be using the airwaves to promote. What we need to do is to look more at the medicinal aspect of it right now, rather than come here to advocate that people should be using
when
it.
When they're ready to legalize it, because it ain't doing nobody to hurt them. It's who doing it, them is who using it, abusing it themselves.
Okay.
Them mashing it themselves, then overdoing it.
All right, well, perhaps you sound as though you're in a good position to give advice to people off air when it comes to how they should use and not abuse it. And I think that's perhaps where you should take this discussion. All right. Thank you very much.